Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
What's going on, everybody? It's that time again. It's another episode of Dr. Homebrew. We have Brian Schaar and Brian Cooper, along with myself, to bring you the very best in homebrew advice from two people who know what they're talking about, and me, a fat pig.
Wait, we have two additional guests who know what they're talking about?
Yeah, they'll be on later. Yeah. And it'll be fine.
Who are these guys?
Yeah. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I bet that they use five-star chemicals. You go to fivestarchemicals.com, and you could be like these two people who know exactly what's going on. Use them to clean and sanitize your home brewing equipment, because that is the only way you are going to get clean and sanitized equipment. That's it. It's the only way to do it. So check it out. Fivestarchemicals.com. They'll teach you everything. They'll tell you about what's going on over there and how to use everything properly. Go to your local homebrew shop. If they don't carry five-star chemicals, demand that they do. Pull your pants down and do a number two.
In the toilet. Effective persuasion.
Yeah, in the toilet.
I'm just saying.
And then come out after you wash your hands and say, "Look, I did a poo. Next time, there better be some five star on these shelves, or I'm going to do another poo.
I did a poo, but I'm still going to brew.
Yeah, there you go. It's a poo. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But anyway,
five star actually tell you that that's a good thing that people should do to encourage stores to carry their product?
I'm reading the script that they sent. Yeah. So
okay.
I don't know. It just says riff here, but okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Poop away.
That's right. All right. John, what's up, man? Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
You have sent in, what did you send in? I actually really know. I have all your beers here, but you sent in like 100 beers.
We're doing a German Pils.
German Pils. All right. Have you done this before, John? Is this a new to you beer?
I've never brewed one. Well, this is my first one. I've rebrewed it like a week ago.
Nice. Yeah. Ooh, without our feedback, huh? Tough.
Yes.
Wow.
But there's some flaws. So I was excited to send this one in because I've listened long enough to know that a lot of the beers that get sent in are over a 30. And I doubt this one is going to be. And I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Okay. Well, look, I'll let it pass because you did secure your labels on your bottleneck with tape and with a hair tie. And now I have exactly 500,000 of these in my house. So thank you. Thank you. Okay. So your first attempt, but, not your last. And I appreciate that. German Pils. Are you a big Pils guy, or was this one of the styles that you just kind of wanted to tackle just because?
I got a Bitburger in like February that was super fresh.
Okay.
I'm in Vermont, so I'm assuming it was, fresh off the boat or whatever. And I was blown away about how good it was. And then I just got hooked.
Nice.
There you go.
I think I've had Bitburger one time. Being on the West Coast, it probably just tasted like, dog's breakfast. It just didn't really kind of like the.
Yeah.
But I hear it's really good at the source.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Change your mind. Change your whole outlook on things.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's cool, man. I like that, commercial beer can still do that, especially from an old stalwart like a Bitburger. A beer that's been around for hundreds of years, I guess. It's neat. I like it.
If the bottle's been around for hundreds of years on the shelf, you don't want to drink that one, though.
That's typical.
It's a delicate beer, fairly delicate, so it can, oxidize and it travels far and it just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a big difference having it there for sure.
All right, Cooper, why don't you go ahead and start us out on the John's German Pils.
All right. Yeah. So the bottles had the tape right around the top there. I had to kind of peel that little label off to be able to see the fill level, but it was appropriately filled. A nice light little hiss when it opened up. In the nose, I got a light Pils malt. It was fairly sulfury, but clean lager character otherwise. A little floral herbal hop note. No esters, no diastole or acetaldehyde. It's like pretty clean. I do get a light DMS, but that's okay in the style. You can get a little sulfur in there, kind of left over from the lagering. Appearance wise, it's really nice. Just a bright, light yellow color with a large, foamy, fluffy white head that just persists forever. Fine bubbles, foam stand kind of dominates there. Just really fluffy looking. Quite brilliant clarity. There's a tiny touch of haze perhaps, but it's I would call it, it's getting towards brilliant there. It's a bright highlights, in the background. Nice looking beer overall. Flavor wise, it does have a kind of, fairly bold bitterness. It hits up front and, it should for the style, you don't want IPA bitterness, but it does. You do want the hot bitterness to kind of dominate as it plays off that kind of, moderate sulfate German kind of water there. Low grainy malt comes up alongside that. The floral spicy hop in the flavor at kind of a medium low level. It's has an appropriately dry finish. Seems cleanly lagered to me. The balance is definitely toward the bitterness. It has kind of somewhat a minerally character to it, which the beer can have, and some versions have a little bit less of that kind of mineral bite and a little more kind of pils malt sweetness coming in, and can back off the bitterness a little bit to let some of that shine through. You don't want it to dominate. It's not a Helles. It's not a light beer. It's got to have a fairly bold character, and you got to find that balance in there. So I'd say it's fairly well balanced. It does lean a little more heavily toward the minerally and bittery kind of character there. Mouthfeel wise, it's medium light bodied, leaning to medium almost. It feels pretty substantial. Medium high carbonation. Just keeps, the head just keeps rising up as you sip it. No obvious astringency or any warming effect to it, as it shouldn't have. It's not really creamy or anything like that. It's pretty, mostly to style, or just a smooth drinking, pills. So yeah, I'd say, overall, this is a very nicely brewed German pils. It meets most all the desired characters. It's clean and very pretty. Fantastic foam stand. I guess I would refine some bit by maybe backing off the minerality just a touch, a hint more pils malt sweetness might kind of shine through when you do that, or you could even increase that the hint of sweetness just a little bit, but you don't want it to, you'd still want to leave it nice and dry like this, but taking the bitterness back just a tiny touch could do that and let it balance a little bit more that way, but that can be just a preference thing too. There's a range allowed within the style. Be nice if that stood up to the bitterness just a little bit better. But otherwise, great use of ingredients, especially the German kind of noble hops in there are just obvious. It just has the right hop character to it, and it's really nice. I landed on a 39. I thought it was an excellent beer.
Excellent. All right, Char, let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for sharing this beer. I really enjoyed it myself.
You're welcome.
So, John, are you in a homebrew club?
I'm not. I've been to NHC a couple times under the Brewing Network. So there you go.
There you go, oh, baby.
Pretty cool. So, are we all in the same club then?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah. Why not? Let's piss people off.
Yeah. let's bring back that old controversy from 10 years ago, huh?
You don't have to pay dues. You can just claim to be a member and send in really good beer and kick butt in the competition.
Right. I still have some t-shirt about Brewing Network, not a real club, since whatever year. I haven't worn it for ages, but it's still in my closet. So nobody wants to hear about my closet. What they want to hear about is this German Pils, which is pretty darn good. Aroma, it's a medium low Pils malt aroma. Pilsner malt has a very distinctive aroma and character to it, and I definitely get that. It's got a little bit of sweetness without perceived sweetness without being sweet, And it's kind of difficult to describe in some ways, but once you've stuck your hand, your nose in the Pilsner malt bin at the homebrew store, you know, you'll know what it is. There's sort of a low flowery hop aroma, no off aromas. I did think that overall the aroma was kind of at a lower level than I had expected. Although having the sample having warmed up even more, I think I would retract that comment. So I'm actually going to, on the fly here, you know, I do this sometimes during the show. This is live homebrew judging, people. I'm judging homebrew live here on the internet.
That's right.
I'm going to come up 2 points and give you 10 out of 12 for the aroma, because it was not, in fact, lower than expected. It was appropriate once it warmed up to proper drinking temperature. Appearance, I think this is really crystal clear. Anyone watching this on Facebook or YouTube or the other things in the future, maybe you can see this. Cooper says there's maybe a mild haze. I'm not seeing it, but you know, maybe I could, you know, talk myself into it. It is like really exceptionally clear. It's very pale. It's almost too pale for style. You know, when you look at, I kind of pulled out my phone that I have the BJCP guidelines on, and you know, it's a terrible, it's meant as more of a ballpark to give you an idea of what it should look like and not a thing to judge against. And it's so hard to judge color, but I think it's still in style. It's just very much in the light end. But you know what? Getting a beer both really crystal clear and really pale at the same time is really quite an achievement. So congratulations. Head is white and persistent. I mean, I poured this a long time ago, and when I say persistent, you can still see. I mean, it's not huge, but there's bubbles or there's some foam on the edge of that that liquid. So 3 out of 3 for appearance. Flavor. Initially, the flavor is Pilsner malt. But what's interesting is it's not as much Pilsner malt as I got in the aroma. And it's maybe a little more restrained. In a way, I kind of liked that. And I want to talk about your malt bill later on. I'm really curious if you maybe mixed that with something else. You know, that's initially, that's that Pilsner malt flavor. Bitterness comes up to balance mid palate. And in fact, as the taste goes on, the bitterness almost, it's a really nice firm bitterness. It's almost too high, you know, but think when you mentioned Bitburger, that's one of the things that I like about Bitburger when it's fresh is it is a very bitter Pilsner. So when you're trying to nail a Bitburger, you definitely got the bitterness aspect of that correct, as well as I think pretty much every other aspect. The finish is long and it's balanced toward bitterness, very well attenuated. I get like a low floral hop flavor, no off flavors. So that's 14 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5, medium light body, medium high carbonation. You know, it's one of those beers where the bitterness, I think, is real pleasant and it's very, very firm. And it's definitely on the high end. And it can get to be a little difficult sometimes to pick out high carbonation from high bitterness, because that carbonic, you partly what you're tasting with the carbonation is not just that prickle of the bubbles, but the carbonic acid that comes from the high carbonation. And that can be sometimes a little hard to distinguish from hot bitterness. But regardless, you know, I thought it was nice. No warming. I'd say it's not creamy or astringent. So 5 out of 5 for mouthfeel. Overall impression, I'm actually going to change this to give you 9 out of 10 for a total of 41.
Whoa.
I really like this beer a lot, especially for a lager. You know, I could drink a lot of this. So, I mean, this is probably good that you don't live near me, because I'd probably just come over to your house all the time and want to get Pilsner from you.
Regardless if you're home or not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why, Brian, why are you jiggling the side door to my garage? I mean, there's Pilsner in there, right, man? Come on, I need some Pilsner. Next time, if there's anything I would probably try to do maybe a little bit more, my note was to try to bump up the aroma hops, but you know, I don't think you need to, because coming back to this when it was appropriately warm, I think the aroma hops were excellent. You know, it's the bitterness is on the high end of style. I think it's probably still in range, but it's starting to get in the territory where it's difficult to tell like what you would really do to make this much better, especially when you're already doing this with a challenging lager beer. And again, I want to hear when you talk about this, if you actually lagered it or did some sort of elaborate method where you did the kind of no lager and fooled us all. So well done. And thank you for sharing.
All right. Awesome. Very good. All right, John.
I was shocked at the scores. I'm really flattered. It's funny when I put this, I did a triangle, not really a triangle, but I had Bitburger, my beer. And then there's a lager I like out here called Green State Lager. It's in New England, and it's Green State and Bitburger. I really couldn't distinguish the two. They were interchangeable, and mine I could pick out all the time. One thing that I did differently with this brew compared to my other beers is I just used my straight town water and then adjusted from there, as opposed to using RO. So it's interesting hearing Cooper's comment about the minerality. It was probably higher than it could have been. But anyway, you want me to run through the recipe?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Actually, could you back just for a second before you do that?
Oh, sure.
So is your town water well water or river water, or what kind of source do you have?
Is it wet?
So we're in Vermont, so it's I think it's all surface water.
Okay.
I can look up what it is.
No, that's fine. I just, if you knew offhand, I was curious.
Hazy IPA brewing water.
Yeah, it's not super soft, but it's low in sulfates and kind of moderate in chlorides, and so it presents a challenge when you want to get the sulfates up. Because then your calcium and your chlorides get all screwed up. But anyway, be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that when we get to it. So this is the Meiberger recipe from Brewing Classic Styles. So we got, 20 pounds. This is a 10-gallon recipe. So it's 100% Pilsner malt at 20 pounds. And then 2 ounces of Pearl at 60 minutes, and then an ounce of middle fruit at 15, and again at 1 minute. Fermented with, this is where things kind of got right.
How much Pearl?
2 ounces.
Wow. Okay.
So estimated 23 IBUs.
Yeah, that would be a lot in 5 gallons, but that's, in 10 gallons.
right. And that Pearl is 8% alpha acid, so it was up there. So this is where things kind of got screwy, is I only had 2 packets of Saf Lager 3470 for 10 gallons. So I did my best and rehydrated them. But after 36 hours, there was hardly any fermentation happening.
Oh, no.
And this was at 50 degrees, so I raised it to 53 when I saw that. And then it kicked off like normal after that, but got it up to, I bumped up to 64 at 9 days. And then at day 11, it was still bubbling a little bit, raised it up to 68, at day 12, and then 70 at day 14. I held it there for 5 days, and then I kegged it on day 21 with gelatin.
So you kind of inadvertently did that Narzis / Tasty lager method without even intending to do so, just to make sure that your yeast were alive. That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. So this was brewed on September 10th, and I kegged it on the 30th. So we're two and a half months old.
It's fascinating to me that with 2 ounces of Pearl or Perlay, I never know how you're supposed to pronounce that.
Right.
Yeah.
Pearl is probably fine. Sure. Why the hell not? We're in America. Pearl. This beer comes across being, I think, firmly bitter. And like I was saying, it's almost, to me, the perception is almost that it was too high. And maybe that's, like what Cooper was thinking about with the kind of alluding to with a comment earlier about the water. is that if you have highly mineral water, I mean, the sulfates in the water will drive an increased perception of hop bitterness typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was going for that. That's kind of where my taste buds go towards, is I wanted a little bit of, of hop, presence, it's not hop bite. Like you get some really fresh IPAs around here, right. But, I wanted it to be a bitter beer that was extremely clean
objective achieved. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The thing that got me, I used to just use RO or DI water from the grocery store. And then I was talking to a local craft brewer here in town who has the same water I do. And I was like, what do you guys do for your water? And he goes, just a carbon filter. And then, adjust for pH and whatever your profile is after that. So this was my first attempt at it.
That's a lot of the water treatment for like a lot of breweries, just carbon filter, figure it out.
I think it's chloramines out.
Yeah, I think it's almost rare that you find a brewery doing RO these days.
It's expensive to, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like a giant waste of water, too.
And waste the, yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to one of Justin's podcasts with Brynaldson about IPAs, I guess. And Farrison Walker still uses.
Do they? Really? And that fascinates me because in California, we're like in a perpetual drought.
Right.
Well, especially in Paso. I mean, anywhere in the Central Coast, they are just they don't really have any good water sources. Mm. So they're constantly trying to minimize and discourage water use. So
yeah.
I wonder if they do something with their RO leavings.
I would imagine that. I mean, the way that that plant is run and built and designed, and the way that like the company is sort of the same run and built and designed, I can imagine they're doing some kind of water recycling program and all that kind of stuff. So I don't mean to imply that they're,
I didn't think you were, but it's just like typically people in breweries in California, or if they start doing RO when they're real small, typically end up getting forced out of it just because it's the water bill is too gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tasting this beer, I was getting like a very high lemon character. Did you guys get any of that? I mean, I just ate four lemons before the show, so maybe that was it. But
is it zingy?
Not really. I can talk myself into a tiny bit of lemony zip.
In a good way, because sometimes it can come across as like a lemon pledge or like a cleaner thing, and that's not what I mean at all. It's like a lemon zest, and I don't know if those hops have that. What's that, John?
I think it's a pH thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You thought I have COVID. What do you guys think? Can like pearly hops sort of have that? Or maybe it's a yeast. What yeast was this again, John?
3470.
Yeah, I don't know.
Soft lager.
Okay.
It's the
one.
Einstefan shrimp.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Just something I picked up. But yeah, it is very good. I do really like it. Do you have any more questions for the judges, Brian, at all, John?
I think Cooper, you're saying maybe dial back in the minerality and then.
Yeah, just a bit. You could maybe do a blend of the town water with, some RO, 25% RO or something, and then just kind of see where you think your minerals are at, or if you can actually test it. Start there, just back it off a little bit. And those hops will, if what you're going for is a substantially, leaning towards the more bitter end of the style, for German pills, this is it's right. It's not, it's a fine balance thing, I think, to pick at it too much. I don't think it's too fruity though. I don't get a lot of lemon in this or any big fruitiness.
I don't think it's too fruity, but yeah, for me, I don't know. That's like the main sort of thread through the whole beer. It's just great. It's like a bright lemony thing.
Yeah, it's it's crisp. It's nice and dry. So the, the flavors that are there, they kind of shine for a second and it pulls back and just dries off. And you're left with that bitterness in the aftertaste and, some nice hop flavors. I like the hop flavor. I think, Perla is mostly, kind of herbal and floral kind of, it's It's not going to kick out any big, weird, lemony, fruity notes that I don't, that I know of. So yeah, it's, you know, kind of, you know, like you said, the medium alpha hop, you can get a good amount of bitterness out without using too much plant material. So it doesn't have a bite at all. It's nice that way. So yeah, just herbaceous and kind of spicy a little bit maybe, but yeah, pleasant. I think the water, and maybe backing off the bitterness just a touch if you want to go for a slightly different take on the pills. But if this is what you like and you want to drink, go for it. I mean, that's what we always tell people.
But, right?
Hey, have you made a beer that you like and you were trying for that? I'm curious about this triangle test though. That seemed like kind of an interesting thing. So you had two store bought bottles of these. Or, well, I guess the craft beer one was a local craft beer.
Right.
And those two were more similar. So, like the store bought Bitburger with that one, those were more similar. Do you remember what the differences were?
I'm really bad with descriptors.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I sent the beer in, because I wanted to hear what you guys were tasting.
Well, you should have sent us the triangle test. That would have been fun.
Yeah, dude.
I thought about it, but then I put my beers in the package because I was going to send one of the local one, but I just didn't have any room.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the packaging is still sitting here in my dining room. Like, and my wife's like, what the heck is this? Like, crate that landed here. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, it came in. Beer came in that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so it came in at 5.4% alcohol, so it's probably towards the upper end of the style or out of style.
I wouldn't say that. You know, it's close enough. And I mean, did you actually measure that or did you calculate it?
Calculated with a, you know, hydrometer.
So you measured that with a high. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the ABV is supposedly 4.4 to 5.2, you know, in the homebrew world, I wouldn't think it's going to be difficult for anyone to perceive that extra 0.2%.
I think where I got it was kind of in the body, not necessarily like any alcohol poking out, but it felt just, it was leaning towards medium. It's not the medium light pills that you normally get, but just a touch towards medium, a little more substantial beer. And that's fine. But if you want to win a competition, maybe do dial that back towards the 5%.
Yep. Awesome, guys. Yep. Thanks a lot.
And, you know, I think you did a fantastic job in doing what homebrewers do best, which is adapting to adversity, figuring out when things aren't going right, how to fix them, and creating something that's actually tasty enough that I finished my sample here while we're talking. So
we are heroes.
Good on you for doing that.
That's right.
Awesome.
Thank you for your service, John. You overcame adversity by brewing a beer.
I feel like we'll be seeing you soon. But,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Cheers. All right, man. We'll let you go. All right.
I finished mine too.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to drink more beer because what else are we going to do on a whatever day afternoon this is? All right. Hang on, everybody. It's the set. Wow. It's not the session. Hang on, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew, and we'll be right back.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. We are back here on Dr. Homebrew, and we have Mark on the show. Mark, welcome to Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, good to be back, guys.
Yeah, absolutely,
welcome back,
man.
Yeah.
Good to see you again. So what are we drinking today? Because my notes say experimental beer, and that could literally be anything.
So what this is my interpretation of a traditional African ale.
Okay, a traditional African ale. I didn't know. It's probably my own ignorance, but I didn't know that was like a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What can you describe the style you're going for a little bit? Give me a little more background on what that means.
Yeah. So I guess just what I was going for was something using techniques that you would find in traditional African brewing, as well as something that would be something light, refreshing, and a little tart.
Okay. Light, refreshing, a little tart. Okay, great. What about this label here you got here? A toast to Amilcar Cabral, I think is his.
Yeah. So that was just something I came up with. So I'm actually part Cape Verdean, and something I, you know, look to for just inspiration is my heritage. And I dedicated to Amilcar Cabral, who was one of the founding people of Cape Verde. And this is just kind of my tribute to him. So,
okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I looked I looked it up too. I mean, he was actually, you know, he died for what he did. You know, he sacrificed his life to try to get, you know, freedom for his people, basically. That's, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'm an amazing story. I could probably dig into more and learn a bit. And from way back in like the 70s too, like really early on in the movements where, you know, some of these, you know, things were changing in Africa and, you know, moving from colonial reign to like being independent and trying to find their footing in that way. It's, you know, it's been a journey for a lot of these countries. But it's interesting to know, you know, I just want to know more about the beer for now. And it was a hard one. I have to admit, it's a hard one to judge for me because I don't have any experience with this kind of a beer. I have to admit, probably the current BJCP guidelines aren't super heavily skewed towards African, you know, originating beers. So, you know, and maybe it's something we can bring in more as the, you know, it's a continent with a, you know, a lot of beer history, I think, there too, and a lot of different grains and things that grow there differently than what our kind of brewing background is. So I was doing some reading up on it, and I found a couple pages that gave me a little bit of insight, and I kind of, you know, well, I tried not to read too much into your beer. I drank it and judged it. And so, yeah, let's see. I want to see what Brian said about it, though. We're going to let Brian go first this time.
Char, do it to us, baby.
Oh, God, you're going to let me go first? All right.
And
awesome.
And then we'll learn about the African brewing that Mark was really trying to go for. And we'll get all those nitty gritty details later.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
All right.
So, Mark, are you at a homebrew club?
No, I'm not.
You are self-reliant. You're a self-reliant man who stands on his own. So that's a good thing.
That's right.
Especially when you're out there making experimental African beer. So, you know, this was, I appreciate your sharing this with us because it's something that's really different from what we typically get on the show or like what you'd get from other home brewers locally or at a pub or anything else. Cause it's not something people do a lot of. And I do really want to find out more about it afterwards. I thought the aroma was, it's warmed up a little more. And it's still, my first impression is that it's almost cider-like. And yeah. I've been drinking actually a lot more cider lately. It's because of you, JP. And that's a good thing.
Welcome.
Because you shared that, was that Two Towns Cosmic Crisp with me? And that was so good. I went and got like a 12 mixed pack of Two Towns, and I've actually starting to enjoy cider like I never have before.
Nice.
So that's why the aroma is very much. So I'm drinking more cider now than I have in the past. It's very cider like, but in a good way, right? Sometimes cidery can be used as a pejorative for beer, like it's an off flavor or off aroma. But that's not the case here. I mean, this is cider-like in a way that's reminiscent of a good cider. There's no off aromas or unpleasantness. I don't really get any malt or hops. It smells like I just poured a nice cider and I'm about to drink it. So gave that 8 out of 12. And again, it's hard to judge. This is in category 34C, which is experimental / specialty. And when you read that category of the BJCP, essentially it's like, give us some guidance and brew a good beer because the judges, you're essentially judging it based on, you can try to judge it objectively, but largely you're kind of judging it based on how well you like it. And is there anything off or bad about it, anything particularly good about it, you're not judging it against like an established standard. So it can be a little challenging. But I think we both tried to do our best here. Appearance, 3 out of 3. It's very clear. It's maybe slightly hazy. And again, not, I don't know if this beverage is supposed to be hazy or not, but I know that when you're fermenting anything, it's generally an achievement. It shows technical skill to keep it clear. So I generally view that as a positive, unless the style isn't supposed to be clear. It's extremely pale, which is also very hard to do. I think it might be paler than John's Pilsner. So yeah, I think we're drinking just some very pale, clear beers tonight. There had been a very large white head that you can't tell from a very large head upon pouring, but it settles and dissipates within a few seconds, which again, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's just what this beverage has. It's 3 out of 3. Flavor, first sip is cider-like at the very beginning, but then also slightly sour, like lactic sour, like almost like a Berliner Weiss. And I kind of characterize this in the overall impression. This is almost like a cider adopted or Berliner Weiss, and they just kind of hung out together because I think you have like this. It's not intensely sour. I mean, this is not a Cantillon. This is not something that's going to rip your face off. But I get kind of a very gentle lactic out of it that I think actually marries pretty well with the rest of the flavors. It's clearly not an accidental sourness. Well, at least to me, maybe it is accidental. I don't know. But, I mean, usually you can taste when sourness is not intended. And this tastes like the sourness was intended. Get a very low bitterness, which might be sourness, might be hop. I don't know. But it's a bitterness at a very low level. It's very well attenuated. It's enough so that the finish kind of comes up and then passes through fairly quickly. But it's not what happens sometimes when a beer is or beverage is so well attenuated. You take a sip, you taste it, and then it just falls off a cliff and you can't even imagine that you had it, you know, 5 seconds ago. The balance is to that kind of cidery sour flavor. There's no hop, but I don't get any hop flavor out of it. So I gave it 11 out of 20, not because it was bad, but more because I just didn't quite know how to judge it. You know, it's probably deserving of maybe a little higher, but it just reflects the difficulty in trying to figure out how to judge this beer. Mouth feel 5 out of 5, low body, carbonation's medium. It's neither creamy nor astringent, no warming. Overall impression, I gave it 7 for a total of 34, which is very good. It's in the very good range. I think it's really interesting and different. I'm curious if this was fermented with sorghum or something, but I will hold my questions until my colleague, Dr. Cooper, has had a chance to give his diagnosis of your beer.
Examine the patient on the operating table, spread the chest open. And
I'm not a doctor. I only play one on the internet. I'm going to probably sound a little bit like a broken record here. You just replay Brian's score sheet almost, and it's going to be what I said here too. We judge this as 34C experimental beer. Just a traditional African ale. So having no knowledge really of that, I just have to go off what my perceptions of the beer were as well. Aroma wise, very cider like, with no hops. I'm trying to get at what the maltiness quality of it is. I thought it's like, it's light honey, maybe a little bit of earthiness. I got a touch of sulfur in the nose, in there, and kind of white wine like aromas more than anything really beer like. It smells like it's maybe tart and perhaps also sweet. I think when you smell something that's going to be tart, it also gives you the perception of maybe having some sweetness or some fruitiness to it. It's a very fruity beer. It's very candy-like in a way. because it doesn't express in a traditional, like, here's malt and hops, you know, no hops and not really much in the way of what you would expect from traditional malts or, you know, anything besides a base malt and kind of backgroundy at that and being taken over by all the fruit that's there. There's no, no off aromas, no diacetyl or acetaldehyde. I just get a strong apple and pear-like ester, fresh fruit-like, very cidery. It poured at first, and I wish I had just done this on this, you know, screen for anyone watching on Facebook, that all two of you, this, it pours a large frothy, like soda fizz looking whitish head at first, and just whoosh, it pours up and it crackles, and then it just drops like almost immediately to no head. Not even a collar around the edge of the glass. There were finer and some larger bubbles just at first, and then at this, you know, as it sits here, there's just some fine and larger bubbles rising from the glass. You can tell it's still carbonated, and some of them are kind of aggressive at first, and it slows down a little bit as it goes, but fairly clear, light yellow, straw colored almost beer. Flavor wise it's fruity. Notes of apple went out. A lot of apple esters right up front. It does taste a lot, you know, reminiscent of a cider. It has a light tanginess only. It's not super acidic that it approaches a very tart or sour impression. But it is a clean lactic sourness in there. I don't know what I could try to measure the pH and see where it falls, but it's probably not in the threes. It's somewhere in the fours or something like that, I would have to guess. It's fairly tart, you know, maybe even higher. I don't know, but it's noticeably tart, but it's not the dominating aspect. It marries well with the fruitiness that's there, and there's no acetic or anything gnarly in there. Really, no funk. Just a clean lactic. I don't really get any bitterness in the beer, honestly. It's like a cider that wouldn't have any hops in it. It's the bitterness is probably on par with that, with a cider like level of bitterness. You might get some impression of bitterness from the fruit skin or something, but you know, it's not a hop bitterness that I can detect. No real hop flavor to speak of either. The alcohol is fairly subdued, smooth. It's quite refreshing and clean. The malt character is just neutral and low, quite light and cider-like. So I gave it a 13 for flavor. I think Brian was a little low on his 11 there, but I also didn't know how the hell to judge it, honestly.
Yeah, fuck you, Brian.
I'll feel, yeah.
That's honesty. Just because I'm more of an asshole than you, Brian.
It's honesty true. Is just the best answer here. If I had a lot of these, maybe this would be the best traditional African ale. It is the best traditional African ale I've ever had, because I think it's the only one I've ever had. So, mouthfeel wise, it's light bodied, almost towards medium light, with a medium low carbonation, no warmth or astringency at all. It's not creamy. There's no biting quality to it. It's just really thirst quenching and somewhat snappy, like a light refreshing cider or a kombucha or something like that. The mouthfeel is great. Overall impression, it's a fun beer to sample with no obvious faults dragging it down. I read a bit about traditional African beers, but this is hard to judge, especially also not knowing what was put into it at all or any much background besides just traditional African ale. There's a lot of different traditions from around Africa that have developed over the years, and a lot of it is kind of a home brewing kind of a thing, and a lot of the brewing is done by women there, from what I understand. In some regions, there's been a resurgence of it since the pandemic. I was reading and like that people are searching like mad for, you know, how to make this kind of a traditional African ale and just doing it. I saw pictures of people pouring really murky looking things from one container into another, and these pots are just, you know, a mash of some kind, obviously. When I first got it, I'm like, is this going to be a hazy, you know, mess? Is it going to be weird looking? It's just like, It looks kind of like a light cider. So I don't know, for I expected, you know, kind of an oddly grainy malt flavor or something. I haven't had many. If it is a sorghum beer, I'm not sure if it is, but I looked up a little bit of information on that because I haven't judged too many alternative grain beers, honestly. But from what I understand, sorghum does give kind of a fruity and can give a lightly tart character. I think just depending on how you brew it, if you go the traditional way and you're letting it do its thing and develop, it's gonna, you know, it can kick out a little clean tartness like this has in it, obviously. So I do wonder what it would taste like with just a little bit of hop bitterness in it or some hop flavor to add to the, you know, what's going on here, to the existing complexity and drinkability. It might ruin it. I don't know. I'm just trying to judge it by what I can taste here and what I can sense and how the balance is for what it is. It's kind of hard and a little confusing for me to do a good job of this. So I apologize for that. I wish I could do it better justice, but I think I agree. It's just a very good beer. It's drinkable. I was a little scared of it at first and like not knowing what it was. It's like, what's this going to be? Is it going to be really weird and gnarly? And it was a little odd and interesting, but it wasn't like harsh. It just has a balance that's really drinkable. And I could see it, you know, in a hot climate being something that's really refreshing and nice to drink and well done and you know, kind of home crafted too. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I'd love to learn a little bit more from you about what you know about these and especially also what you did with your recipe. Is there sorghum? Is the first question. You know, what's what are the malts? Is there any hops in it? What did you do?
Let's figure it out. Mark, what do you think? There's a lot of questions coming at you, man. And I think they're all warranted because this is very, it is very weird. Just to throw my two cents in, I'm getting a light lemony thing. So going back to John's beer, maybe it is a pH thing. I don't know, but that's the character I'm getting. It is very bright. It's very acidic. It is cider-like, but not like what you were saying, Char, where you mentioned specifically not cider-like as in a flaw. But I think cider in like a tart sort of brightness. You know, and it's the mouth feels a little thin. It is very good. I would like to see some like Huel melon in here or something like that. Just some sort of those bright melony hops in there. I think that could be fun. But
Sriracha Ace.
Yeah, something like that just to play with a little bit. And, you know, you can really tweak it out. But the first part is to get, you know, the traditional beer the right way, and then you can futz with it. So, Mark, go ahead, man. Let us know what you did. What's going on here?
Yeah. I guess the first question, it sounds like everyone wants to know if there's sorghum in it, and no, there's no sorghum in it. When I was coming up with the recipe, I was just, I was trying to think of things that, you know, I just already have in the brew cave, and just again with the goal in mind of making something light, refreshing, and a little tart, I came up with a recipe of 6 pounds pale malt, 1 pound torrefied wheat, and then what I did is I had just a modified mash schedule. So I mashed at 130 for an hour and then raised the temperature to 170 for an hour.
Was there a reason that you picked 130?
I guess kind of not really, just trial and error. I'm still kind of crafting it, but
I was just curious because with the wheat, I mean, I'm not sure what temperature the ferulic acid rest is. I didn't get the cloves that's typically intended to amplify. There's people have different temperatures that they pick sometimes for different reasons. And sometimes the best reason is just you're screwing around and want to see what would happen.
Right. It's more like the high end of like a protein rest and not even, you're not going to get a whole lot of, amylase activity in it.
Right.
At that point, but it may be very slowly. Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, maybe to just dry it out as it is. So, okay. Yeah. Go ahead though.
And then, I boiled it for, let's see, actually I don't have that. I believe if my memory serves right, I boiled it for about 30 minutes before adding the hops. And then what I used, half an ounce of Mandarina Bavaria hops for 15 minutes. Then I cooled down And what I ended up doing, and JP, you got this. I used lemonade concentrate.
All right.
I'm a super taster. I tell every motherfucker on this show that I know what I'm... No, I'm kidding. Lemonade concentrate.
You're a super taster for lemon, JP.
Apparently, today.
But yeah, I used, you know, like those frozen concentrates you can get at the store. I used five of those. I think they're 12 ounces or something like that. Just dump that in. Just dump that in.
Just keep going, man. We're just laughing because it's crazy. But keep going. You just take five of those and you dump them in.
Dump them in the fermenter. Cool the wort down. Put that in the fermenter. And I believe it was 70 degrees, just ambient temperature. I pitched saison yeast. OG was 1.0. Actually, half of this time, 1.042. FG 1.002. And then
which saison yeast?
That's a good question. I don't remember. Sorry.
One of the commercially available ones. Got it.
Yeah, you finished at 10:02. That's great. Yeah. 10:42 to 10:02.
Yeah. Wow. And then okay. I actually transferred that on 5 pounds of peaches.
Peach O's. Okay. This is a traditional African ale, right? Peach O's and lemonade concentrate.
Oh God! Everyone listening to the podcast should just see Mark's face right now. I wish you could. It's an auditory medium. You can't see it.
You can feel it.
Oh my God! I feel bad for you not being able to see that.
Why the peaches? Like, why did you
peaches?
Okay. I thought you said peach O's, like the candies. You know, the gummy candy. Peach candies. What are you doing? But peaches. Okay, peaches. Got it. All right. I retract my jab.
I don't really taste the peach. You know, I get that lemonade concentrate in the context of like the acidity. I don't know. Do you guys taste the peach?
I can get the peach because I was talking to Bravery Brewing yesterday on the session, and they had a peach wheat ale. I'll say the same thing here. I don't get like the brightness of the peach or necessarily like a lot of the peach flavor, but it tastes like peach flesh. So it's almost like the peaches need a little more sweetness or something like that. I mean, it's out of peach season, right, Mark? Were they frozen peaches?
Yes.
Okay. I wonder if...
I believe it was in peach. Actually, I don't remember when peach season is, but they were frozen nonetheless. But I made this about 4 months ago now.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense, too.
I can talk myself into a little bit of peach character for this beer.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked it out if he hadn't said it. That's absolutely correct.
Agreed.
There's no way.
With all the sweetness gone, it's, you know, there's nothing to play off. It's just the esters and I think peach and apricot are basically the same, just the same esters and just a different fruit. And
which is really interesting though. Wow.
Yeah, I get mostly apple and I do get some of that lemon too. But yeah, interesting. Weird. Why would you?
Why wouldn't you?
Why not? That's the better question.
It tastes good. It tastes good and it's refreshing. So yeah, why not?
It's experimental.
But, yeah. What inspired it? And is that where the African ale come into it here? Does anyone there do anything like this that you've read?
Probably not with the peaches, but again, just thinking of what we have available here, like I could have used some of the sorghum, but there's just no way I was gonna. I mean, again, it's my interpretation of a traditional African ale, so right. You know,
so you were thinking of the flavors that you wanted and then you added the things that you wanted to get those flavors, so it was like cheats and different tricks to get the desired result, and like, this is what I'm supposed to get and here's how I'm going to get it. You didn't like sour it with bugs or, you know, yeah. Got so interesting and so weird.
And also just kind of the idea of just using what you have around that's convenient for you. You know, like maybe people might do in, you know, Africa or other places where it's more just like you don't have a homebrew store available to you and you just kind of ferment what you got around.
Or in prisons or like, you know, really bad neighborhoods. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's weird. but it's interesting. No, it's use what you have at your.
I've never tasted anything quite like this.
So this was with the Saison yeast. Like, it wasn't like a soured beer. It just the lemonade concentrate and the Saison yeast are combining to make a it's almost like a well done kettle sour.
Yeah, because you're limiting your how much sourness you're going to put in there by just this is how much acid I'm going to put into this beer and I'm stopping. Then nothing is going to keep it going. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's all she wrote.
That's wild. And this is normally where I would say, Mark, do you have any questions for everybody? But I don't think that's I feel like you're teaching us now. So what do we have any questions for you?
Do you have any other surprises to throw at us? Like,
No, not yet. I mean, like I said last time, I just like doing the craziest thing I can think of and just getting feedback on it. So I really appreciate it, guys.
I also fermented it in an actual bathtub. You know, people always ask me, do you use your bathtub in this process? And, you know, yeah, I did it this time.
Do you like doing the craziest thing you could think of just in brewing? Or is that like other things too? Like, you like decide to coast down a mountain and like something you made yourself out of plywood and skateboard wheels.
Yeah. When I'm driving tractor trailers, I just put it in neutral and just glide down the interstate.
Well, that's just common sense.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, if that's it on either side, you know, I think we'll let you go, Mark.
Cool. I appreciate it, guys.
Cool. All right. Thanks, man. Yeah, that was good. That was a cool beer.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap things up, and then we're going to get out of here. It's Dr. Homebrew. Stay tuned.
Now, back to the examination.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. That was a good show, man. That that traditional African ale made with traditional lemonade extract. That was a trip.
Somewhat non-traditional methods to get the result that he wanted, but he got to the territory that he seemed to want.
And yeah,
it was drinkable, drinkable.
It worked well. So kudos to that. It was cool, man. And hopefully he gets to play around with it. If he's happy with it, you know, then you can sort of bring in some, some more traditional ingredient. I mean, I say traditional ingredients, like he used all traditional ingredients, not lemonade extract, but you know what I mean? Some new age hops or, I don't know, some other ingredient to kind of like, I don't know.
Or try the sorghum. I mean, go there, just go there, put it in a pot and,
boil it up, buddy. Yeah.
Open air mash, just let it go for days or something and see what happens. I don't know. Man.
Why not? All right. Well, I think that's it, boys. I think we did a good job today on this show.
We tried. We gave it the old college try.
We sure did, man. One. Yeah. If you're listening live,
I'm pretty happy with the show.
Stick around for a little bit. We'll be right back with a whole other set of beers to drink. John's going to come back. So, that's why he's schlepping around the operating room here at Dr. Homebrew or whatever.
And if you want to send us beer, just email brian@thebrewingnetwork.com. That's Brian with an I. And you can send us your beer or fermented lemon juice or what have you. Kombucha, we'll take whatever you got.
Whatever you got, man. Wine.
Prison hooch.
Cider.
Sake.
Send us some stuff, man. Send us some stuff. All right. We're going to get out of here. Thanks a lot, everyone, for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you later.